pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Like I said, I'll get to your text in due time. Gary, thanks for the kind words saying you rock, Jeff. In the meantime, we are joined by our returning champion who's here with us a day early, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It is a beautiful day in South Alabama.
Well, based on your social media, every day is a beautiful day in South Alabama, right?
I try to look for the positive in the day, and we live in a beautiful place and have a lot of activities we can enjoy and try to stay positive when possible.
Well, I would just say the oppressive heat is, but I think that's statewide right now. But otherwise, if you judge a book by its cover, it's a pretty nice day out, right?
That's right, exactly.
Let's get right into it. First off, runoff election. Not too many surprises there, I suppose. You're looking at some of these races. Auditor and Secretary of State seem to be where most of the interest is. Do you have any thoughts on what we're going to see on the ballot on Tuesday?
You know, I think with all of these elections, it's going to be about who can turn out their voters. And having been through two runoff elections before myself, that's the name of the game. You know, we had low voter turnout going in to begin with in the primaries, and then to have, you know, to have to turn around and get these folks back out to the polls just a short 30 days later here is going to be a challenge for these candidates. And the ones that have the stronger game and the more energized voters are going to be successful. I do think it's probably a little bit more up in the air than some would lead you to believe.
Do you still think the right move, though, the abbreviated between the quick turnaround from the primary to the runoff is still the right way to do it, just given the turnout woes?
I do. I I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of difference, positive or negative, except for the candidates and, frankly, how much money they are spending in these runoff elections. We're in the middle of summer. People are going on vacation. They're, you know, travel ball and everything else is going on. People are out and about and doing, you know, living their lives. It's a challenge to get their attention and keep their attention and get them to come back. I'm not sure, you know, 30 days versus 45 days makes a big difference, except for we don't have to see all the ads for another 15 days and we don't have to spend the money that we would otherwise spend trying to get everybody's attention.
So I understand the idea of having like a somewhat early primary in a presidential cycle. You know, it gives your state more say in that process, particularly in a one-party state. But in these primaries this early, it does seem a little anticlimactic, right? That we know how this state is going to go. Now, maybe turnout is going to be higher, and I don't know if that's just a product of people being upset at Biden, so they're going to show up and they're going to go out and vote, and that's the way to protest. But this length of time we have from June the 21st till November, it does seem, like I said, anticlimactic.
It is a bit, and especially in a state where you know that the Republican nominee is likely to be very, very likely to be the general election winner. Certainly in the statewide races, and there's very little competition on the Democrat side of things. So we know this is decided here in June. But in other states where you have more competitive races, or other districts where you have more competitive races, I'm not sure that it's a bad thing. You know, we see other states reporting in and some interesting congressional primaries going on right now. And those folks need time to campaign in those more purple districts to get their message out and make sure they draw stark contrast between the policies of the Biden administration that we're seeing right now and what good conservatives stand for.
And I suppose, if anything, you don't have to worry about Alabama taking resources from places or attention or whatever or places that may need it that are more purple, or even in this cycle, I think you're going to see some blue places, South Texas, et cetera, go red, that this wave election is coming. Alabama will have its business settled and wrapped up pretty much. And then, you know, what's going to happen nationally will be getting the lion's share of the focus.
You're correct on that. And then you'll see good folks, you know, from the South Baldwin Republican women and the Azalea City Republican women, and the Eastern Shore Republican women, and
the shore workers
state party folks going to Georgia, where there are more competitive races, and helping out in those areas as well. And you'll see, you know, you'll see the money spent in those races as opposed to battling it out here.
The longshore workers you're referring to there, right?
That's right. I got to get Dale Jackson down to the Fairhope Yacht Club so he understands those are not dock workers. They're respectable ladies at a yacht club.
The world, according to Dale Jackson, if you got him to draw a map of Alabama, you would have like this outsized view of Huntsville and Birmingham, and everything else would just kind of be like near the water or something. And that's sort of his. I digress. Anyway, enough of that. Hey, what do you make of? And I know you've been somewhat in contact with Senator Whatley, but what do you make of the ongoing proceedings there? Is it really going to come? Do you think it looks to me like he's just going to let it rest on the Republican Party to make a decision.
Well, I think he is, and I think he's smart to do that. You know, there looked like there was going to be a prolonged legal battle over the recount. They were preserving, the Whatley campaign seemed to be preserving their option for a recount. But look, I think they feel pretty strongly that the party is going to weigh in on this. And I think that, you know, from what we've seen, that there was strong, organized Democrat participation in the Republican primary. Strong, organized, and documented Democrat participation in the Republican primary. And I think that when when the Republican Party looks at that, they're going to say, hey, this is not going to stand. This is not something we're going to allow to happen. And I think you'll see Senator Whatley be the nominee and go on to win in November.
That's where it really stands. So I was listening to Chairman Wall talk about this. These proceedings later this month with the steering committee are just to look at ballots and make sure that no ballots that weren't supposed to be counted were counted or whatever that may. But where Chairman Walsh said they reserved the right was with, you know, ultimately if there was something like that, an organized effort by either the campaign or a Republican Party campaign or by Democrats to sway the election, that's where they will enter in and be concerned, it sounds like.
Well, and I think you've got that. I mean, and you've got documentation from that. I mean, not anybody who's on social media can go and look. You know, these are folks that are Democrats, that have voted, you know, Democrat in the past, and they went in and requested a Republican ballot, and I mean a bunch of them. And then they came back out, and they got in their Subaru, and they got on Twitter or Facebook and started talking about how they had fooled the Republican Party. And they had, you know, voted against, you know, Senator Whatley. And I think that I think that when that happens, you've got to have the party take a real look at that and say, hey, if we've got this clearly laid out in front of us, this evidence of this type of participation, are we going to allow that to stand or not? And I don't think they should.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program, and all this is just leading to this. Closed primaries, right? That is now we have we've seen in a one party state where most of the action is going to be on the Republican side, and you gotta do something to make sure it's Democrats and conservatives that are dictating the tempo, the brand of the Alabama Republican Party and the candidates it puts on the ballot.
Well, you're right. I think the party has got to consider that. The Alabama legislature has got to consider that. Look, there's always been, you know, crossover voting. It's been around for a very long time. The question is how much more active are the Democrats becoming in our party, in the Republican Party? They understand that in order to influence the election, they've got to play in Republican Party politics, or they won't be successful. It almost doesn't matter what they do in the Democratic Party. So the Republican Party is forced, in my opinion, with looking at how we prevent that from happening, because you don't want to dilute the conservative message that the Republican Party has. And I think we're going to have to take a serious look at closing the primary.
Do you think that's maybe, not asking you to, grade your colleagues or anything, but there does seem to be a dilution of conservatism in the legislature and maybe even at the executive level. And and it's just kind of what the priorities are, I suppose. Do you think that maybe that is not having a closed primary and having, you know, a lot of former Democrats that are now Republicans, that it's sort of a moderating influence on state government?
Well, very well, it may be a moderating influence. The question is, do we want to moderate the views of conservatives in the Republican Party? And I'm not sure that we want to do that. Listen, there's an opportunity to have a discussion and a debate about where this country is going and where our leaders should be taking us, and to have that debate between good conservative ideas and the liberal ideas that we're seeing, you know, promulgated right now by Washington and the economic troubles that they are they are causing. But that time is in the general election. That's when we need to be having those conversations. What we don't need to be doing is trying to water down what is a Republican and what is a conservative in our own primary.
Well, I tell you, and I'm also an editor at Breitbart. I talk to these guys. I mean, we do national politics, national policy, federal policy, et cetera. But, particularly on abortion is a great example that Alabama leads the way in Republican Party politics nationally, because this is sort of, so there's 50 laboratories of democracy, but you got blue states, you got red states, and the red states, the ones that have already had decided what their stripes are politically, are the ones that dictate the tempo for the rest of the country. And having Alabama, and not a Florida or not Texas or what, but having Alabama right there at the front of the pack is important.
Well, I think it is. And I think when you start talking about, you know, schools of thought and gradations of being conservative, that Alabama leading is not a bad thing, not a bad thing at all. You know, I look at the woke culture, I look at the culture wars that we're having right now, and not to sound too much like Tim James, but to some extent, you know, the guy had a point. What are we doing and how do we get here? You know, I watch my kids and what they're dealing with on a daily basis and how they're growing up and what they're hearing and what they're seeing. And it concerns me greatly, and I think it is time to get back to good conservative, family value principles, and I think it's time to get back to good conservative fiscal principles as well. Watching what's happening with our fiscal policy nationally is clearly just a disaster in the making, and we've got to wake up, and we got to get back on the right side of things.
I mean, it seems to me like, and we've been discussing the Midtown canon this morning, but it seems to me like, particularly in the classroom, a lot of this is kind of decided out of sight of parents, out of sight of the public. I don't remember having a discussion about it. Well, you know, what is acceptable in our society? It's just kind of done in these institutions that we supposedly have control over. But a lot of times the bureaucracy kind of takes charge there, and it's out of sight, out of mind, but it doesn't mean that it's not doing things on its own that we're just not aware of.
Well, and I think that's a mistake, and I think that's where we're headed down the wrong path. I mean, it blowing things out of proportion, you know, the canon's a good example of that, you know, defacing the canon. They painted it black. It's a black. I mean, come on, you know. When do we stop overreacting and being hypersensitive to everything? You know, go get a job, go to work, raise your family, take care of your kids, you know, move on. And it frustrates me that we continue to see this erosion of not just values, but work ethic and fiscal responsibility and taking care of your own and your family. And I think that part of that is seen by just allowing this culture, this pervasive culture and this woke culture to continue to erode good conservative values. And I think that we see again with the Democrats playing in our primaries, you know, how that happens, and we need to get away from that.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for coming a day early, and enjoy your vacation.
I will do it. Y'all have a great day, and enjoy the weather, even though it's a little warm.
All right, guys. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.